This morning we're going to look at Joshua, and we've got quite an impressive prayer here, really, considering a number of circumstances. But we're going to be looking primarily at self-reliance, relying on our own strength instead of on the Lord. We're going to be looking at the importance of praying first rather than second. And we're going to be looking at sin in the camp. And those are three things that Israel stumbled with here after the victory over Jericho. And I think we can see the tendency in each of our own lives to fall into those same kinds of things. And we need the Lord, don't we? We really do. Well, we're in Joshua 7 today, and as you would recall, Joshua 6 was the glorious victory over Jericho, the destruction of Jericho. The walls fell down, the tallest walls probably of any city that they had seen. And now, flush with victory, they're going to take on this next village, which is called Ai, a very small village halfway up the mountain from the bottom where Jericho was. And so what happened to the Israelites? I think what we see happening to the Israelites here is so typical that can happen to you and I very frequently. The first thing we see that because of their being so flush with victory, and now we know how to do it, here's another similar opportunity, so they rush right into it without depending on God whatsoever. They're totally relying on self. In fact, they're so relying on self, they're saying, we don't need the whole army to take that little village. We can just take 30,000 men and wipe it out. No prayer, as far as we know. No reliance on God, as far as we know. And no sensation or sensitivity to sin in the camp, as far as we know. So far, how does that fit you as we go through life? Maybe you have a persistent sin that you've really been struggling with. And as you're struggling with it, you're crying out in all humility to the Lord, help me, Lord, help me. I can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't solve this problem. Would you solve it? And when we turn it over to the Lord, he solves it for us, doesn't he, so often. But then when we want to recount that on to our brother or sister who may be struggling from the same sin, it's so easy to get into that position of, you know, what's wrong with you? Why can't you get out of that sin? You know, I decided it was time to end that sin, so I squared up my shoulders and started really trying harder, and I don't have any trouble with it anymore. Do you ever say something like that? That's totally a lie, you know. It's not you that solved the sin problem at all. It's that you turned it over to God and he solved it for you. Well, we see this sin of self-reliance here, and so they send these 30,000 men up there, and they got their tails whomped, and a bunch of them came back killed. I think they killed 36 of the Israelites. And it says in verse 5, and the men of Ai struck down about 36, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. Notice, until evening. It wasn't just he fell down and, yeah, we're in trouble, Lord. He is really grieving. He's grieving the rest of that day until evening, whatever time that was. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. They're in trouble. And now here's the prayer in Joshua chapter 7:7. He says to the Lord, alas, Lord God. Woe is me, Lord God. Woe is us, Lord God. Why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Notice the tendency to go right into murmuring, right into complaining, very similar to what Moses had done in the past, very similar to what the children of Israel had done all the way through Exodus, all the way through Numbers. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? Hey, I'm the leader of this army now. And what am I going to say when my army, which was so victorious in Jericho, now turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. They're going to just wipe us out. We won't even have any remnant left. Then what will you do for your great name? Now that's a good place to end our prayers. What are we doing for the great name of God? And are we concerned more about Him or about ourselves in our lives and what we're doing? We see now the real culprit here is not only the failure to rely on the Lord, not only the failure to pray, but there's sin in the camp. And how often in our lives, I would say all the time in my life, sin is the problem. You know, God has given us everything, hasn't He? He hasn't held anything back. There's nothing more that He could give us. He's given us everything. And the only thing we can do to mess it up is get into sin. The only way you can grieve the Holy Spirit, basically, is to sin. And we don't have any trouble doing that, do we? So Joshua's on his face. He's got dust on his head. He's prayed this prayer to the Lord, and the answer is, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they've even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Now you know the command for the booty, for the spoil, and all for Jericho. That command was it all was to go to the Lord, take none for yourself. That was what God told them to do. Now from now on out, they're going to be allowed to take some of the booty. They're actually even going to be allowed to take some of the booty from Ai. But they were not to take any from Jericho, but we know this guy Achan, he transgressed and took. So the Lord says, get up, sanctify the people, set yourself apart for tomorrow. Because thus says the Lord God, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Sin in your life. If there's sin in your life, God will not bless. God will not be united with sin. It's got to go. It'll either go because we confess and repent and turn it over to the Lord, or it will find us out in a much more difficult way. So, Israel, you got sin in your life. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and so forth. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire. Not a light penalty, is it? He's going to be burned to death. Actually, they're going to stone him and then burn him. Shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So the next morning they rise and they bring the clan of Judah and then the family of the Zarahites, man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua is very compassionate here to him, but he's already said, whoever that is going to burn. My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. Notice now, he saw them, he wanted them, and he took them. It's always that progression. You see, you desire, you start to think about it, and then you act on those thoughts and you do it. It's exactly what he did here. That's sin. I took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver underneath it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And then, verse 25, so all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. So that's the story of the children of Israel, flushed with victory, knowing how to take big cities with big walls, and they fell flat on their face because they ignored God and because there was sin in the camp. So, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So may we be on guard against sin in our life, and may we recognize our tendency in these bodies. We still sin. We'll sin until we get a glorified body. Now, the price of our sin has been paid, but nevertheless, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we sin. Sin always moves us back. It always separates us from the Lord. It's always moving us in the wrong direction. We don't want to go that direction. We want to be reliant on the Lord, and we want to come to him first in prayer, not second or third or fourth. Father, we thank you for this powerful prayer today of Joshua, which points out so clearly, at least in my life, Lord, the tendency to sin, the problem of sin in my life, Lord, the necessity of coming to you first, to rely on you and not on self. And Lord, I do believe that the further we walk with you, the more victories and so forth that you give us and use us, the more we need you, not the less we need you. When we get to higher heights, Lord, it's so easy to fall. And we need you. We need you desperately. Lord, thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you for the gift of prayer. And thank you that you give us access to come directly to you in prayer. This morning, Lord, we have a few minutes here together. May we be led by your Spirit to pray as you would have us to pray, Lord. I pray everyone here this morning would have the opportunity to pray, and that we would keep our prayers short as you lead us in short prayers. You don't lead us in long, long prayers, I don't believe. But Lord, not to get bogged down in how we pray, we just want to pray. We just want to respond to your Spirit in one accord. And regardless of who's talking, we're all in one accord because it's your Spirit. So lead us now in this time of prayer. We pray in the mighty, holy name of Jesus. Amen.